Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, coast to coast, it is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Busy show today, hour number three of our radio program. We've been teasing this for a bit. Let's get to it right now. So there's three football teams that have been in the news a lot this offseason, and all three are struggling right now. You take a look at Notre Dame, they've had two heartbreakers to start off their season. They lost to Miami 27-24, where they should have handed the football off to Jeremiah Lovemore. And then last week, they score a touchdown late, but then on fourth down, they allowed a touchdown, even though a holding call should have been issued and there should have been a flag on the play. But still, if you leave it up to that and you leave it up to the officials, you don't deserve to win. Texas A&M walks into South Bend and they walk out with a 41-40 victory. So you have Notre Dame 0-2 right now. Clemson was supposed to be a national championship contender. They lose to LSU week one, 17-10. They barely beat Troy 27-16. And then they lost to Haynes King and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets over the weekend. And now they are 1-2. And then you got Colorado, which the way that I would describe their quarterback situation, it's dysfunctional. And I don't know if there even is a plan. So you start Caden Salter, the transfer. They lose to Georgia Tech, who's a very good team. 27-20, right? Not embarrassing. You just lost to them. Then you play Delaware. Caden Salter's in the game. You knew before the game that Juju Lewis was going to get in. And then after the game, Ryan Staub, right, because he was the third string quarterback, he gets inserted. He plays well. And then the following week, he's the starting quarterback. And then he doesn't play well up against Houston. And they lose to Willie Fritz's squad 36-20. So I'm looking at it right now. I don't know what they're going to do moving forward. And I don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be. And it's almost at a point where I don't even know if Coach Prime has a plan right now. So let's attack those three football teams. Let me start it off with Texas, though. And we'll get into Texas as well in this conversation in just a second with Arch Manning and Steve Sarkisian, because I want to get into them too. But, you know, let's actually go to Texas first, then we'll get back to those three teams. Because this was also concerning. I wanted to get into this with college football as well. So Arch Manning, he was asked after another poor performance, are the issues with Arch Manning, because he's a huge storyline as well in college football, are the issues more mental or are they physical? Let's listen up to Arch Manning.
Probably mental, to be honest. Like, I think I just need to go out there and play my game. I know the type of athlete and type of player I am. Just go cut it loose and have some fun, play ball.
Let's go to Steve Sarkisian. Arch's struggles are actually good for him, he says.
I think some of this is really good. You know, here's a guy who's had an awesome life. You know, he's you know, the way he's grown up, where he played, the school he went to, the people he's been surrounded by. But I think you learn a lot about yourself through adversity and overcoming adversity and getting on the other side of adversity. And so to have some of this adversity that he has right now, and when he gets on the other side of it, I think all of this is going to serve not only well for him, but well for us as a team.
And then also, here's one more from Sark. Why didn't he bench Arch after his struggles?
Different scenarios call for different measures, right, of what you need to do. And, I didn't, you know, if Arch was having a bunch of mental errors and not operating the offense well, then that maybe would have required to take it out. I didn't feel like that was the case. Different things require different things to get your point across. And so, you know, we handled it accordingly. We'll handle it accordingly this week and expect him to come out and have a great game Saturday.
All right, I'm distracted. I hate to say it. I'm distracted and I may be juvenile here. So I was about to give you an Arch Manning take. I was about to give you a Steve Sarkisian take. Was there a fart in that press conference? That last audio clip that we just played, play it back for me. I'll tell you where I thought. I couldn't tell if it's a microphone maybe moving or if it's a fart. Play that back.
Different scenarios call for different measures, right, of what you
right
need
there.
To do. And
play that back for me, Stu. Samter, I need you listening intently here because, you know, I feel like you're good in trying to detect the Samter smelt that dealt it if it was a fart. Was that a fart? Go ahead.
Different scenarios call for different measures, right, of what you need to do.
That sounds like a fart. That sounds like a fart.
It does.
Move over, Dan Orlovsky. I don't know if that was a member of the press that had to pass a little gas while Sark was talking, or if that was Sark at the podium and he was maybe hanging out with Sully too much and he had to pass him gas. That sounds like a fart. One more time, please. Third time's a charm. Maybe if everyone hasn't heard it yet, go ahead.
Different scenarios call for different measures, right, of what you need to do.
That sounds like someone's passing some gas. The only other thing I think of is maybe that microphone moves a little bit and it made a noise like that, but I think I'm being too kind there. That's a fart, right?
Well, that's definitely not a microphone sound. I mean, could it be somebody shifting in a chair and making a sound, but that's definitely not a microphone sound.
Like a leather chair or something, maybe.
Was that a fart, yes or no?
I think it's a fart.
100%.
Yeah, I think it's a fart, too.
Measures, right, of what, right, of what you need.
I'm out on Texas. I'm out on Arch Manning. I'm out on Sark. They may not win another game the rest of the season. How can you have a reporter farting in the press conference or your coach farting in a press conference as well? But you look at Arch Manning's numbers so far. Against Ohio State, 17 of 30, 170 yards, touchdown and interception. 10 carries, 38 yards. San Jose State, 19 of 30, 295 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, 4 carries for 23 yards and a rushing touchdown. UTEP, 11 of 25, PU, just like that fart in that press conference. 114 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 9 carries, 51 yards, 2 touchdowns. You know what's crazy? Here's the biggest thing that is concerning to me. And I appreciate, right, Arch Manning showing his vulnerabilities, letting you know that it's mental right now, it's not physical. We hyped up Arch Manning, and what has been the commentary? Oh, this guy's going to be so ready, right? His uncle's legends, his father, right? The father of quarterbacks. I mean, his grandfather, the grandfather of quarterbacks, right? This guy was supposed to be so prepared that nothing was going to be too big. It just shows you he's still a kid at the end of the day. And we never thought in the last 2 years that moment, that hype was going to be too big for him because of the way that he just handled it when he wasn't really playing or wasn't playing at a great length of time, wasn't being the guy yet. It kind of makes sense now why he wasn't that great last year in private, no matter what they said, and Quinn Ewers kept on starting. And Quinn Ewers, I thought, was disrespected the last 2 years with what he was able to do, and it wasn't Quinn Ewers' fault. Right, he won a Big 12 championship at Texas. He got them to an SEC championship game in Texas's first year in the SEC. But with that being said, it was all about arch this, arch that, arch this, arch that, arch this, arch that. And right now, I don't think this is the fact that Arch Manning isn't good. I'm not telling you he's generational. I'm not telling you he's going to be great. But I don't think this guy is a bad QB. I believe after the Ohio State game, and even in the Ohio State game, you saw that throw early where it was just terrible. It's mental right now. And you're seeing the moment be too big for him. You're seeing the pressure finally get to him, the outside noise finally impacting him. And he admitted it. When he said it's more mental than physical, that's not an easy spot. When you were hyped up to be the savior, hyped up to be, you know, this next great quarterback, Paul Feinbaum being a fool on television saying he's the greatest quarterback that college football has seen since Tim Tebow. What about Joe Burrow? What about Cam Newton, just for starters? And there's others that I could get to. And now you're seeing it impact him. And I hope that it doesn't derail his career. But that stretch of Florida and Oklahoma is massive for him. Because who cares what he does against Sam Houston? You should beat Florida, especially with the way Florida's struggling. And then you play Oklahoma, and that's Red River. Those two games are big moments for Arch to kind of get everyone off his you-know-what, off his back, and then people start to say, okay, maybe this kid is really good again. Because it seems like a lot of people are out on Arch Manning right now. And then they also play Georgia later in the season and A&M later in the season. Those are big moments to prove yourself. So that's the Texas side of it. Now let's get to Clemson, Colorado, and also Notre Dame. Can I tell you what my brain did there for a second? Because I knew I wanted to talk about Arch Manning at some point. And then I'll even admit, it sounded a little bit weird. Where I'm talking about Clemson, Colorado, Notre Dame. Like, oh yeah, then there's Arch Manning. I didn't really want to talk about Arch Manning there. I want to talk about him later. For some reason, the orange with Clemson in my brain was orange with Texas when I was looking at the sound clip and the notes on the sheet. So anyway, getting to Clemson, Colorado, and Notre Dame, that's the Zach Gale brain fart of the day. But we still gave you compelling radio there for the last 10 minutes. Yes, Anter?
I like how you use brain fart.
Yeah. I'm like, see, Sark may fart actually. I just have a brain fart. I don't know. Would you rather just rip gas in front of a podium, or would you rather just have a brain fart in front of the podium?
Rip gas. Because rip gas, like, listen, it's our bodies. Yeah, it happens, right? And sometimes you think it's going to be quiet, but it kind of, like, sneaks out a little bit harsher than you expect. Having a brain fart in front of a camera.
Santa Pio.
You know, that's like your mind going down.
Yeah. So you think my brain, do I have some problems like Arch Manning right now with my brain? Do you think it's more mental with me than physical?
No, because that's just who you are all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. So it's not like, it's not, you know, having a mental problem or
and
just
you know
kind
what
of
it
missing
is too? I go 1,000 miles per hour anyway when I do a radio show. So to me, when I mess up something or when I like sometimes take a breath or I have a different thought in something, in my brain, because I slow down a little bit, it probably sounds so much worse in my brain than it actually does on the radio. Because there's been times I think I have royally messed things up, and then I listen back to it on the free Odyssey app, like a big company guy, and I use the rewind function. I go, oh, that actually was more than fine. And then I admitted my weaknesses on the air. And I go, I didn't really need to do that. But you know what? If you're not being true to yourself, if you're not being honest with the listening audience, then what the heck do we have here on the Infinity Sports Network? All righty. Let's get to Clemson, Colorado, and Notre Dame. Let's hear from Marcus Freeman. Chris Ash. That defense looks like trash right now. Stu isn't happy, and I feel bad for Chris Ash because he was very kind to me when he was the football coach at Rutgers and I was getting my radio career started. Marcus Freeman, with your defensive background, will you spend more time coaching the defense with their struggles right out of the gate?
As a head coach, it's being able to put on the hat that's necessary at this moment. I spend a lot of time with our defense. That's obviously where my background is, and I'll continuously do it. Will I spend more time? Maybe. You know, if that's what's necessary, I will. I'll spend more time there. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that we improve and we have a performance that we believe is the standard of Notre Dame football.
So I think it's crazy how Notre Dame is in the same spot, in my opinion, as they were last year, as they are in this year. Because last year, I know it's different, right? Because they were 1-1, and this year they're 0-2. But when Notre Dame beat A&M and they lost to NIU, you're Notre Dame and you lose to NIU, that almost felt like it was two losses and you couldn't afford to lose a game the rest of the season. I said this all summer long. In a 12-team college football playoff format, one of those spots are reserved pretty much for Notre Dame. As long as they have two losses or fewer, the only way Notre Dame wouldn't get in if they had one loss is if the loss was so egregious like it was last year to NIU. But now Notre Dame has to do what they did last year, and that's run the table. And you don't have an experienced quarterback. CJ Carr, I think, is good, but they're now 0-2, and you want to see when they keep on throwing things on that kid's plate, how he's going to respond to it. Jeremiah Love, I still don't know why, even though Price is a really good secondary back, and he could be a lead back somewhere else. I don't know why they didn't hand the football off more to Jeremiah Love in week one. Week two, he got going. That's still the best running back in the country to me. You should use him. The biggest difference right now with Notre Dame is that defense. And they really miss Xavier Watts. Because Xavier Watts, 2 years ago, was voted the best defensive player in the country. Last year, he was snubbed, but he was still phenomenal. And that's a dude that's not only great on the field, but he's a leader off the field. And I think they're missing not only his play on the field, but his leadership off the field, especially with that defense going through tough times. And look at last year with Notre Dame. They were so incredibly tough. To lose to NIU, get embarrassed like that after, right, that Notre Dame team not that long ago also lost to Marshall. and Charles Huff squad at the time. That takes a special tough group to get through that. And now we're going to see how special and tough this Notre Dame team is. So, Stu, I know you're a Notre Dame fan here on the show. You just give me win losses for the rest of the year.
Oh,
Purdue
boy.
Coming up this weekend.
They got to be Purdue at home.
Is it a win or a loss?
A win. They'll okay. win that game. They have to.
At Arkansas on September 27th. Pig Suey.
Yeah, that one's tricky now because they put up a lot of yards against Ole Miss on Saturday. That they could definitely move the ball. I think Notre Dame wins that game, but that's close. Closer
Boise
than I'd
State.
Like it to be.
Boise State, week three. October 4th.
Win.
Okay. NC State.
Win.
USC.
Right now, I'll say loss. I know USC hasn't played anyone, but still, it's still USC.
At Boston College.
Win.
Yeah. Boston College has lost to Stanford, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
That's a bad program. Navy.
Win.
At Pitt. Just lost to West Virginia.
Yeah. I say they win that game, but that's another toss-up.
Syracuse.
I say they win, but that could be tricky because you have the quarterback that transferred, whose name is escaping me right now.
Angeli.
Angeli, who
the Notre Dame game.
Has actually been really good so far this season, and it's going to be kind of a redemption spot,
a Fran Brown motivation spot.
Yeah.
Stanford.
Win.
Okay. I look at the schedule. Arkansas, USC. I'll still say Pitt because they have those two All-Americans, Reed and Lewis, and then Syracuse. Those are the four games that you could have a loss. You got to win all those. They got to win out the rest of the way. And right now with what I've seen with that defense, it's crazy. I would have never imagined Notre Dame missing the college football playoff before the season started. Now 2 weeks in, how can I give them the benefit of the doubt, even though the schedule is not incredibly tough, that they're going to be able to beat Arkansas, USC, Pitt, Syracuse, and not have a trip up anywhere else? I think it's asking too much back-to-back years. 1 year, you could do it. Back-to-back years, with what they've lost, I think it's too tough. Now let's go to Dabo Swinney. They are 1-2. Their only victory of the season is up against Troy. Some people are saying maybe it's time to move off of Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney has responded to his critics.
If they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on their way because that's all we've done is win. So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years. Is that not good? I don't know if that's good or not, to win your league 8 out of 10 years, to go to the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, be in 4 national championships, win it twice. Yeah, we're a little down right now. Take your shots, but I got a long memory in case y'all don't know. We'll be all right. We'll bounce back. This is a program built to last, always has been, always will be. If you give up on us, if you don't believe on us because we've lost 2 games down to the last straight and we're 1, you didn't believe in us anyway, so it don't matter. You wasn't all in anyway. If you're all in, you burn the ships, man. There ain't no exit strategy, like – you're freaking all in. If Clemson's tired of winning, they can send me on my way, but I'm going to go somewhere else and coach. I ain't going to the beach. Hell, I'm 55. I got a long way to go. Y'all going to have to deal with me for a while. Hate to disappoint all the haters out there.
I forget how much I can't stand him. And shame on me for believing in him this year. Here's what he doesn't get. Dabo, you've done things at Clemson that were unimaginable. To your credit, how great of a coach you are, you created a standard. And we are well past the time of just winning ACC championships at Clemson. It used to be a given with what you were doing. The last 4 years, you've only won 2 of them. But this year was to show everybody, where the last 3 years you've lost your way in terms of winning a national championship, that this team could contend for a national title again. And through the first 3 weeks of the season, you've lost 2 games. You failed to show up with your experienced quarterback against LSU, and you lost to Georgia Tech over the weekend. And in between, you guys look like crap up against Troy. So when I look at Clemson, ironically, out of the 3 teams we're talking about here, Clemson being one of them, Notre Dame being the other, and Colorado, I'll still believe the most in Clemson because they have the most talent. But the ACC is better this year than it was last year. Miami looks damn good. Georgia Tech looks damn good. So can you still make the ACC championship? Florida State looks like they're back. Can you still make the ACC championship game and then win it? Sure. But I don't feel good about your team right now. Because your team, it's not losing to Georgia Tech. I thought you guys were going to lose to Georgia Tech. It was the performance against Troy after losing to LSU. When you lose a game like that, you expect the team to just go bludgeon a team that's so inferior to you like Troy. And you didn't do that. So now the rest of the way, you play Syracuse, North Carolina, Boston College, SMU, Duke, Florida State, Louisville, Furman, and South Carolina. The two games I circle, Florida State and South Carolina. That's going to tell me a lot about the Clemson team. And then finally, Colorado. Let's hear from Coach Prime. Coach Prime talked about the state of his quarterback position. Or sorry, not too late to turn it around is the slug line there, guys.
Your coaches, Dabo Swinney, to ever sat on the sidelines. And he said the last time they were 1-2, they went on to finish, I believe, 10-2. Why not us? Why not us? Because there's simplistic things that's going on that we can fix.
Here's my question to Coach Prime. Do you have a plan at quarterback? Did you ever have a plan at quarterback? I get it. The motivational speech is one of the great motivational speakers in football, Coach Prime. And that program was irrelevant a few years ago. Now they're extremely relevant, even though they won, it was four games the first year. They were 3-0 on one game down the stretch. Last year, they were contending for a Big 12 championship. They lost to Kansas. And then this year, they're without Travis Hunter. They're without Shedeur Sanders because they're off to the NFL with the Jaguars and Browns, respectively. But you looked at Colorado, and a lot of us still thought Colorado could be a bowl-eligible team this year. I thought they could be a 6-7 win team. So you lose to Georgia Tech. It wasn't embarrassing, and you panicked. You told us all Juju was going to get in the next week. You started Salter. Then you went to Juju up against Delaware. You know, not a strong team, Delaware. And then your third-string quarterback ends up playing well, and then he's the starter next week up against Houston? And now we don't know who's going to play? It's a mess. And this is the first time Coach Prime's really had a quarterback competition, and it's been a disaster. So I look at their schedule the rest of the way. Wyoming, BYU, at TCU, Iowa State, Utah, Arizona, who's better than what people thought, West Virginia, Arizona State, and then Kansas State, maybe this year is Florida State. Well, they are terrible this year. I don't know what the heck has happened to Kansas State. They lose to Iowa State close week one, then they barely beat North Dakota. They lose to Army, they just lost to Arizona. Like, I look at this Colorado schedule. They should beat Wyoming. Should. After that, I'll pick them to lose right now to BYU. I'll pick them to lose to TCU. I'll pick them to lose to Iowa State. I'll pick them to lose to Utah. Right now, I'll pick them to lose to Arizona. I don't even know if they'll beat West Virginia. And then they play Arizona State and Kansas State. All right, they should beat Kansas State. I think you're looking at a big regression year here for Coach Prime. You know, maybe they'll win one of those games that I said they'll lose. I think you're looking at 4 or 5 wins at most. I don't see this team going to a bowl game. I do not at this rate. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break when we come on back. Baker Mayfield shined last night. People are calling him a top 10 quarterback. How far are we willing to go in our praise of Baker Mayfield? And we still got to get to overreaction, proper reaction that we'll do 20 minutes from now, right at 5:40 p.m. Eastern time. It is the Zach Gelb Show. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Baker Mayfield, gritty last night. Baker Mayfield doing Baker Mayfield things with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and just finding a way to keep on winning games. You know, you lose a player like Tom Brady, right? The greatest quarterback of all time. And the Bucs haven't missed a beat. I get it. They are no longer a Super Bowl contender. It feels like they're just a really good team. They're not a great team, but they've made the playoffs every year Baker Mayfield has been the starting quarterback in Tampa Bay. And you look at it those 2 years, right? They won a playoff game in year one, and then in year two, they lost in the wild card round in what was a crazy game back and forth with the Washington Commanders. So I said this going into the season that Baker Mayfield was a top 10 quarterback for me. I had Mahomes 1, Josh Allen 2, Lamar Jackson 3, Joe Burrow 4, Jalen Hurts 5, Jaden Daniels 6, Matthew Stafford 7, C.J. Stroud 8th, and then Baker Mayfield 9th. So I already said Baker Mayfield was a top 10 quarterback, but last night, more and more people are now saying Baker's a top 10 quarterback. I think we need to move that up a little bit further. So let's do this right now. Stu, you give me some quarterback names. I will tell you. Oh, good. I was going to ask for music. Good job there, Stu. I'll tell you who I'd rather have. Is it this QB or Baker Mayfield? Because I think we need to wipe the slate clean and redo this list.
All right, let's start with Patrick Mahomes or Baker Mayfield.
I know he's struggling, but he's still Patrick freaking Mahomes. I'm taking Patty Mahomes.
Okay, what about Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield?
Easy peasy still. I'm going Josh Allen.
Okay, Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield?
Easy peasy. I'm going Lamar Jackson.
All right, what about Joe Burrow, who is now injured, or Baker Mayfield?
Okay, if I had to start a game tomorrow, it would obviously be Baker Mayfield because Joe Burrow can't physically play. But if all things are even and everyone's healthy, I would still take Joe Burrow.
Okay, what about Jalen Hurts or Baker Mayfield?
I'd still go Jalen Hurts. I know they only had 101 yards passing in that victory up against the Kansas City Chiefs, but Jalen Hurts is a winner. Jalen Hurts has been now in two Super Bowls and has outplayed the best quarterback in the sport, or who I still think is the best quarterback in the sport, in Patrick Mahomes. Jalen Hurts has done that twice where he's outplayed him in the Super Bowl, even though he's only won one championship. I would still take Jalen Hurts.
All right, sticking in the NFC East, what about Jaden Daniels or Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, Jaden Daniels is more of a playmaker. Like, you look in Tampa Bay, he's got Emeka Buka, he's got Mike Evans. Now, you'll eventually get Chris Godwin back. I'm not saying that you take a look at Jaden Daniels and he's throwing to slouches, but you do have Deebo Samuel there, you do have Terry McLaurin. The weapons are better in Tampa Bay, though, so I will take Jaden Daniels still.
All right, what about Matthew Stafford or Baker Mayfield?
Stafford's won a Super Bowl now. I would still go Stafford. Stafford, yeah.
Okay, what about Dak Prescott or Baker Mayfield?
So before we get to Dak, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks. And I had Baker before the season ranked as the 9th best quarterback. Dak Prescott, you said?
Dak Prescott, yes.
It's Baker. If you put Baker on the Cowboys, I think he would have more playoff wins than Dak Prescott would. I don't think Baker would have got blown out by the Green Bay Packers in that playoff game a few years ago. And I just think Baker is a more clutch quarterback. And you give him CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. I know he has Mike Evans and Chris Godwin for years. I think those receivers would be a lot happier with Baker as their quarterback.
Okay, what about Tua or Baker Mayfield?
I'll tell you, the Dolphins would have a playoff win by now. They'd at least have, you know, scored some touchdowns in Kansas City when you got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So I would rather take Baker.
What about Justin Herbert or Baker Mayfield?
I didn't love Herbert last night. Week one, I loved what he did up against Kansas City. I still got to see, like, Herbert, I think, is the more talented quarterback, but I got to see more from Herbert in the big game. For example, Baker Mayfield last year up against the Texans, if he was their quarterback, you know, where Justin Herbert threw 4 interceptions, Baker Mayfield's not throwing 4 interceptions. So I would go Baker Mayfield.
All right. What about Jared Goff, who put up 52 points this week, or Baker Mayfield?
That's the toughest one, I think. That's tough. That's razor thin. I'm going to go Baker. I really do believe Goff is more of a product of the system. I know that he's been to one Super Bowl and then has been to another NFC championship game with, you know, the Super Bowl at the Rams and then the NFC championship game with the Lions. But he crumbled in that NFC championship game. They blew that lead. He threw all those interceptions and made all those mistakes up against the Commanders. And then the first Super Bowl, they only scored 3 measly points up against the Patriots. I think Baker would have played better in that game. So I get the slight edge to Baker, but it's close.
All right, what about Aaron Rodgers or Baker Mayfield?
In the year of 2025, I think Rodgers is too inconsistent. It's Baker Mayfield.
All right, what about the guy that Baker went up against last night, C.J. Stroud or Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, before the year, I would have said Stroud, and I did say Stroud. I'd move Baker in front of Stroud.
All right, what about Brock Purdy or Baker Mayfield?
You put Baker in the Super Bowl where Brock Purdy was the quarterback for the 49ers and they had a 10-point lead, or you put Baker in that Super Bowl when Jimmy G was their quarterback and they had a 10-point lead too? I think Baker wins at least one of those. So I'm going to take Baker over. I know you asked Brock Purdy, but I'll take Baker over Brock.
All right, what about Jordan Love or Baker Mayfield?
See, here's the tricky part with Jordan Love. Year one, when he was their starting quarterback, he played really well down the stretch. Then in year two as the starting quarterback, he regressed. Now things are going really well for Jordan Love. That's another tough one. Goff and Love, I would still go slightly Baker Mayfield.
All right, last one, Bo Nix or Baker Mayfield?
Oh, I would go Baker. Even though Bo had an incredible rookie season, I would go Baker. So I think right now, Baker Mayfield's the eighth best quarterback in football. 9 and 10 are going to be fascinating. I guess I would say it's between three people, in my opinion. Stroud's out of it now. I would say it's between Goff, it's between Love, and it's Herbert. And I got to pick three. I would give the edge to Goff. I would say Goff is ninth. And then for 10th, Love or Herbert? If you ask me who would I rather have for the next 5 years if they were both playing for the Green Bay Packers, I would say Herbert slightly over Love. But Love could change that opinion real quick because the Green Bay Packers, they look like one of, if not the best team in the NFL to start the season. Alrighty, so that's a little Baker Mayfield praise for you right there. We'll get to a little overreaction, proper reaction next. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. I got a little surprise text during the break from my father. So my father works right down the hall in sales here. And I knew it was the one-year anniversary, unfortunately, of my grandmother passing away today. And we always remember my grandmother. And especially as you get closer and closer to Thanksgiving, I remember my grandmother, my grandma Joni, because Thanksgiving was really her holiday. And she made delicious lasagna for years and years and years. And we are not a turkey household. We are a lasagna household. So my dad... Boo. Excuse me. Did you just say boo?
I mean, not to your grandma, but here to the lasagna.
I am remembering my dead grandmother. It's her one-year anniversary. You know, I'm going to talk to Elon Musk and try to get you banned on Twitter again like I did a few years ago when he wasn't even owning Twitter and you got banned on Twitter for going after the turkey opinions that I have. So anyway, my dad sent me a text. He goes, I made some homemade meatballs and I left them for you in the fridge. So I go to the big fridge that we have there in the kitchen and there was no meatballs. So I thought someone ate them. And Ricky Ricardo and Axe are an act, of course. He's like, you know, Chief, what are you, stealing people's food? And I'm like, no, I'm looking for the meatballs. He goes, oh, your dad made your meatballs. You didn't make any for me. Typical act, right? And then Ricky Ricardo, who's doing the Yankee game tonight, he's eating Chinese food. He's going to be like Steve Sarkisian at the podium. He's going to be passing gas through that Yankees broadcast. So then I didn't read the text correctly. He made me meatballs. He left them in the fridge in the break room. Not the kitchen, the break room. So here I have are some meatballs. Look at that. So I'm going to do how radio really should be done. And I'm going to say, Stu, well, these are a little cold because they've been in the fridge all day. Get to a little overreaction, proper reaction so I could stuff my fat face. You could ask me questions about sports. I will eat the meatballs and then I'll give you an answer. All right? Take it away.
Another football week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
These are killer meatballs, and they're cold too, and they're still good. These are good meatballs. What do you got for me, Stu? Go ahead.
All right, so the Bengals, they seem content with sticking with Jake Browning to fill in for Joe Burrow until their quarterback returns from toe surgery. However, with just Brett Ripien on the roster, the team added former Jets and Dolphins quarterback Mike White and former Penn State and Packers quarterback Sean Clifford.
Oh, Sean Clifford. Hickey walking out of the Rose Bowl. Sean Clifford. No, couldn't even understand what he was saying. You know? Like, if I tried to talk.
Oh, let me get more meatball. I think I can formulate a sentence better than Hickey with the meatballs in my mouth than Hickey walking out of the Rose Bowl and the way that he talked. Because he was so drunk. Continue, Stu. Sorry.
So overreaction or proper reaction. The Bengals, they need to get a more experienced, qualified backup for Browning until Joe Burrow returns.
Mike White and Sean Clifford. And Brett Rippon. That's not doing it for me. I think they need to go trade for Jameis Winston. I'll eat a meatball. Jameis Winston, he'll eat a dub. That's what I think needs to happen. So overreaction, proper reaction. The Bengals need to get more experience, qualified backup for Browning until Burrow returns. That is a proper reaction.
All right, Ashton Genty set records last year for Boise State and finished second in the Heisman Trophy behind Travis Hunter. However, after going 6th overall to my Raiders, Genty has struggled in his first two games, rushing for just 81 yards on 30 carries, good for 2.7 yards per carry. Overreaction or proper reaction, you're concerned about Genty's slow start?
I'm concerned about the start for one reason and one reason only. The offensive line stinks with the Raiders. And there's only so much you could do as a running back if your offensive line stinks. So am I concerned about Genty's slow start? I am. I think that's a proper reaction.
In the Bears' two losses, Caleb Williams had basically the same number of yards, but saw his completion percentage, yards per attempt, and touchdowns go up, though his rushing yards decreased. Yesterday, Ben Johnson said he was pleased with the progression of Williams.
I did see significant growth. It's not perfect yet. There's still a number of plays where our eyes aren't quite in the right position, or we're holding onto the ball just a tick longer than what we're coaching. But I did see tremendous growth in terms of going through the progression. There were a few times there where we had to get to number three or number four in the read, and he was trusting his feet and his footwork and was able to get there. So I did think he got better from week one to week two. I'm encouraged by what I saw, and I'm hopeful that we'll continue to see another leap here this week.
Overreaction or proper reaction, you are confident Caleb will continue to improve under Johnson and become a long-term NFL starter?
I'm so out on Ben Johnson and the Bears, it's not even funny anymore. And you know what? I've been shredding him for the entire offseason because I didn't like his comments when he took the job about Matt LaFleur. I didn't like his arrogance when it came to the tush push. Oh, it's not an explosive play, therefore I don't like it. You know what's the one that actually annoys me the most, and I just realized this last night? When the draft happened, I was irate, even as a Michigan guy, that the Bears took Colston Loveland over Tyler Warren. For the life of me, I can understand why Tyler Warren fell to the 14th overall pick. Tyler Warren is going to be a top five player from this past draft class. He was a top five player to me going into this draft class. And because Colston Loveland reminded him of Sam LaPorta, that's why they ended up taking him, when you should have taken the more proven and better player. So that also annoys me. The Bears, they always mess up quarterbacks. I think Ben Johnson is going to be overrated, and that will continue to show. So you're confident Caleb will continue to improve under Johnson and become a long-term NFL starting quarterback? No, I am not. So that's an overreaction.
All right, before Sunday's loss to the Eagles, the now 0-2 Chiefs players, including Travis Kelce, wore free four T-shirts in reference to suspended wideout Rashee Rice. Of course, Rice was suspended 6 games for multiple off-field incidents this offseason, including a dangerous hit and run that injured multiple people. Overreaction or proper reaction, the NFL should fine the Chiefs for the shirts.
They should fine Andy Reid. So would that qualify here for a proper reaction?
Yeah, I think so.
They should fine Andy Reid, and I usually wouldn't advocate for this, but I would fine Andy Reid for being stupid. That's why I would fine him. Because it's one thing for your players to do something stupid, and then it's another thing for you to justify it and condone it. And you should have a backbone. You should have a pulse and say, yeah, we got that one wrong. Our players got that one wrong. They were trying to support their teammate, but what their teammate did was disgusting, and it shouldn't be supported. We'll handle it internally, and you could have moved on there. So that's why I would fine Andy Reid. The NFL should fine the Chiefs for the shirts. I'm saying fine Andy Reid, so I would go proper reaction. The shirts were stupid. Reid defending them were even dumber. It was really dumber. So, alrighty, next one.
Russell Wilson was on a hot seat after an abysmal week one performance, but bounced back in a big way Sunday with 450 yards and 3 touchdowns, nearly pulling out a miracle victory with 2 late touchdown strikes. However, Russ did throw a costly pick in overtime, leading to the Cowboys winning field goal. Overreaction or proper reaction, Russ earned himself another week under center for the Giants.
He threw a terrible pick at the end. I would rather see Jackson Dart. He did give you some good moments, so yeah, he technically did earn another week, but I think it's a waste at this point to keep on throwing him out there. But that pick at the end, it just makes no sense to me. So Russ earned himself another week under center for the Giants. Yeah, I think it's fair to say proper reaction.
My Notre Dame Fighting Irish fell to 0-2 after a last-second loss to A&M, but it turns out C.J. Carr, the quarterback, may have been tipping plays. According to The Athletic's Pete Sampson, Carr's stance indicated whether they would run or pass on 58 of the 64 offensive plays. If Carr's feet were parallel, they ran. If they were staggered, they threw. Overreaction or proper reaction? After the 0-2 start, the Irish should turn to backup Kenny Minchie.
No, he's played fine the first 2 weeks. He's got to fix that, though, if that's true. They didn't lose this game because of the offense. I know they had the block punt and all that, but they didn't lose this game because of the offense. They lost it because of their defense. So I'm not going to say that they need a quarterback switch. So I believe that's an overreaction.
UCLA fell to 0-3 after an embarrassing loss to New Mexico. And after the game, they fired their embattled coach, Deshaun Foster, who accumulated just a 5-10 record in two seasons, going 3-6 in the Big Ten. Meanwhile, over in the ACC, Virginia Tech fired Brent Pry following his 0-3 start and a 10-13 ACC record in 4 years. Overreaction or proper reaction, UCLA is a better coaching job than Virginia Tech right now.
That is an overreaction. I think Virginia Tech, they could be a sleeping giant. I think they have a lot of money. They got to go get the right coach in. I saw that On3 reported that the initial list of projected candidates are going to be Alex Golish, Northwestern's Pat Fitzgerald, and Wake Forest's Dave Clawson. They want a coach with more experience. I think Gruden's name will emerge. I don't think he'll get the job. I know Mike Vick is 1-2, but with those ties, maybe Mike Vick's name does emerge. But I look at that list. If I'm Alex Golish, I'd wait for a bigger job. I think Dave Clawson would take it if offered. I don't think he's going to get offered the job. If you had to ask me right now who's going to get the job, I would say it's Pat Fitzgerald. But overall, I do think that Virginia Tech is a better job than UCLA. So UCLA is a better coaching job than Virginia Tech right now. I will go over reaction. Those meatballs were good. I housed those meatballs in this entire segment. I'm feeling good. Sean Gruden would say, I'm feeling nicey. That's what I'm feeling right now. Stu, thank you. Samter, thank you. Act, thank you. We'll be back tomorrow in a very busy Wednesday show. Matt Rhule will join us tomorrow as you have Nebraska going up against Michigan this weekend. So we'll check in with our pal Matt Rhule, the head football coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Great job on the phones, everybody, today. Big thank you to everyone participating in the YouTube chat as we continue to grow that. And thank you to everyone listening to us across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 375, the Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app. However you do consume us, we thank you. We out. Bye-bye. Talk manana, everybody. I'm Zach Gill. Peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.